Well, hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you, ladies, for a great breakfast. That was wonderful. A lot more cars in the parking lot again than work for the next breakfast. I'm just saying. I don't know why. But we have a guest speaker for Sunday School members today, and I'd just like to introduce Sherry and Charlie Campbell. Charlie's from Ohio, and Sherry's from Montana. They are missionaries with World Venture, and they are stationed in Senegal. Charlie will talk about it, I'm sure, but one of their major ministries is running a pastor's school for pastors if they can take the knowledge back into the field. And it's called the Timothy School, right? It's a great ministry, and I'd just like to introduce Charlie and Sherry Campbell.
Thank you. Well, we want to thank you. You came on board as a supporting church 3.5-4 years ago due to Scott's initiative, and we have a lot of fun when we come here. We wanted to come last week too and celebrate Veterans Day with you, but our senior citizen class at our home church wanted us to do our presentation, so we said okay. But we're here now, and I just want to say right away that we are not pheasants. So if there are any hunters in the congregation, don't shoot us. And if there are any fishermen or women, we are not rainbow trout. And this is pure cotton. So I realize that normally this is your Bible study. So you all know the Great Commission, and our whole story is about teaching them, Senegalese, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So we're all about discipleship, but we do discipleship through theological education, because we figure if the pastors don't know the Word of God, they're not going to be very good pastors. And if the pastors don't allow the Word of God to transform their lives through the working of the Holy Spirit, then they're not going to be very effective in ministry anyway. So Sherry and I try to model the highest respect for the Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible all the time, and we try to model obedience to the Bible. So we'll show you what we have done this last 3.5-4 years since we first got to know you. Now, who can't see the screen because I'm in your way? Raise your hand. Because no matter where I move, I'm afraid I'll block somebody. Okay. So we might want to turn these front lights out if that's possible. I'm taking a risk after that big breakfast to turn any lights off at all. But that's where Senegal is in the context of West Africa. And if this is what Senegal looks like close up, Dakar to the left is the capital. That's where we were. But once our kids graduated from their school and went to the States, we moved to the city of Chess there. And that's where our Bible school is. So there we are, an early middle-aged couple, and we've decided we're going to stay early middle-aged. So from now on, each time you see us, the picture will be further and further away. Our kids came out a couple years ago for Christmas, and our daughter brought the sweatshirts there. So our kids just graduated in May of this year. We flew home for that. Brian on the right is a music ed teacher. He's teaching in a charter school in Columbus, Ohio, K-8. And most of his students are from Somalia, Ghana, Nepal, American Black, and a few Hispanics and 3 or 4 Caucasians. So he feels like normal to him. Our daughter Erica graduated in physical therapy from The Ohio State University, and so they both have first jobs, and we're trying to launch them, and they're like hot air balloons, but they're still tethered by these little things called debit cards. So we want to cut those strings. Now, back in Senegal, Senegal is 96% Muslim, 3% Roman Catholic, and if you, that last person out of 100, if you cut that person into four parts, one, say the left leg would be represent evangelical Christianity. So you know with the punchline coming, we have a foothold on Senegal. I don't get much worse than that. You don't have to worry. Our Bible school is called ETES, and each time I teach a class, I teach in modules of 1 week at a time because everybody's out in ministry and they don't have the luxury of coming to residential school. So I take a photo of each class on those steps. Now you're probably wondering, why are they doing this? In English, we say knock, knock. In French, we say toc, toc. And I was teaching on the doctrine of the in things. And whenever we got to a passage that was difficult to understand, we'd go talk, talk, Holy Spirit, please enter and help us. And actually, I do a lot of stuff like that to keep them awake. Because you have like French for 4 to 8 hours a day for one whole week, they get tired and I get tired. So this is on the undergraduate level. I do the Old Testament piece and whatever else they ask me to do. Sherry does library and English. Last time that we were here on this pyramid, there were only two levels. The entry level, which is called the Timothy training, it's a basic 6-week doctrine class, just the basics of the faith. And then the next to the highest level, undergraduate. So there's pretty wide gap between those two. So the Timothy training, we missed that because we flew home for our kids' graduation the first Saturday of May, but this is the group that graduated at our school in the north, but we also have another Timothy training way in the far south of Senegal. And down there it's different because the Portuguese were there for a long time, so Portuguese Creole is one of the languages down there. So to get down there, I take a ferry boat that takes 15 hours, and guess who got to go with me finally? And down here, we had a bigger class and we had some women. Up in our part of the country, the Serer country, the women, it's subsistence farming. So the women are hardly ever liberated to come to our classes, those that can study in French. So anyway, after these Timothy entry classes, we thought, well, there might be some that would like to go on a formal basis or an informal basis. So we've created Timothy Training Plus, which is the next level. And then a third level, it's hard to read, it says Bac Théologique. You have to have a high school diploma over there to get into undergrad school. So this is a special program. There's a standardized battery test where you can get your high school degree in Bible, believe it or not. So that's why they have to learn English if they want to pass on that, get into that class. So the last 3.5 years, that's part of what Sherry and I have been doing. Those two middle groups meet together. We had 6 enrolled in the first class. Sherry is teaching English there. There's some of our fine students. And that's in French, and there's a key word, key expression for each of the 39 books of the Old Testament. So Genesis would be les origines, the origins, or les commencements, the beginnings, and so forth. So that's kind of fun. and then back to the regular undergraduate level courses I teach. You notice the one guy with his hand on the rail, he doesn't look like the other guys. That's because he's from Mauritania. Mauritania is just above Senegal. It's an Islamic republic. If you convert to Christianity, it's a death sentence. So we've had two different students flee Mauritania and come and study with us. And this fellow was accepted at the Arab Christian Seminary in Beirut, Lebanon. And so he's studying in Arabic. And he'll minister in Arabic when it gets done. So he left some Arabic Bibles and stuff with us. So the next person that flees Mauritania and ends up with us, they'll have some resources in Arabic. So that was very unselfish of him. More Old Testament teaching, smaller class, a little bit further through their process. I create my own materials, my own workbooks from the best scholarship in French and English that I can find. They're supposed to read the textbooks at home before they come to class and fill in the blanks. And then we spend the bulk of time on the biblical text, and then they have to read the Old Testament. They have to read the whole Old Testament, the section of the Old Testament that we're studying. That's a requirement. So I'm doing chapel here, and my problem student, Mansoor, is surfing the web during chapel. Because we do have internet there when they write their senior theses, or thesi, however you pronounce that. He's tempted, and temptation won. Oh, that's a different story. I'll tell that at the end. This is English class, Sherry and I team teach. That way we can spend individual time with students, because some of them have never had English, and some of them have already had 4 years in school. So it just depends, and that's just if they want to pass that big test to get into undergrad level. So we eat in a common bowl. It's like a pizza tray, and you have your little triangular slice. And I'm eating with Mansoor, my problem child there. So I really like him. He's a lot of fun. So it takes whoever's in the undergraduate program, it takes them about 6 or 7 years of lots of dedication to work through this program, one or two courses at a time. The pastor on the left there is the pastor of the church that hosted us when we went down on the ferry boat. And that church is a WEC church, the English Evangelical Movement. The man on the right is a young, very bright graduate. He's planting a church with Brazilian Baptists. So we have, our school is interdenominational. And we did start a master's program. Here, imagine this, a little struggling Bible school in a country that's 96% Muslim. And we have five different level of instructions. We don't have many students, we don't have many teachers, and we don't have any money. So how do we survive? By the grace of God for the last 15 years. That's the only thing I can say. So our visionary, Adam Majouf, this man there, now you can see him. He's a former Baptist pastor in our town. He was former director of our ETES school, and he was the president of the governing board when he got this arrangement with the French-speaking seminary for West Africa. To be our kind of sponsor for our, they're going to send teachers, professors to our campus. So there I am in my glory. I think I have the gift of teaching. I hope I do, because that's what I've done for, we will have been with our mission 28 years this coming January. So honestly, this last term has been the best term if you talk about the number of students that we got to teach. We had the five levels in Senegal. I don't know if you remember that we started out in Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire. We were evacuated in 2002 by French Army helicopter guys and American Special Forces in C-130s for an operation planned in Germany, I think. And then I got to go to the capital of Togo and teach a course there. So this is the school from which we were evacuated. When we started in 1996, we had 5 students. And when the rebellion came, the church had to grow. And so the church did grow through 10 years of quasi-anarchy. This particular church movement has grown to 400 churches in the country now of Ivory Coast. And they have that new dorm there. So we used to have 5 students. Now we have 25 male students, or 24, one female student with sickle cell anemia who still made it through the whole course. And the wives in the front, they almost all of them have young children. A lot of them are from the bush. They don't know French. Pastors are expected to speak French, and there's certain expectations on pastors' wives. So there are teachers to teach the ladies French and other courses, and they have babysitters for their kids so they can concentrate. So there's really, we go so far back with these people. That man held our son Brian on his lap when we were evacuated. And this is the same director. He was on the same plane with us with his little boy, the same age as Brian. So God is good. God is faithful. Even if we would have been killed, God is still good. But in this case, God spared us to keep on going. And we've been going back here. I think we started going back in 2004. And we go back every other year to keep encouraging them there. And then while the women are cooking after classes, Sherry walks for exercise, and she gets these little attachments that come up and grab her fingers and slow her down while she's walking. So they're really cute kids. And that's just a fun photo. The future next generation of believers in Ivory Coast. So this is a picture of me in Togo. That's not during class, that's during break. And I taught Job through Malachi in 2 weeks, 8 hours a day in French, and they bought me that shirt there when I left. So those are all experienced pastors there, except for the Thomas in the red. He's planning, just starting to plant a church. And the lady, I think, was an evangelist with Assembly of God. So that was just another wonderful experience that I had. And when I say I did this, I did that, you know, I mean that the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, does the teaching. And Sherry, of course, I couldn't do anything without her. But this last year was our worst year ever in the term of deaths. Death is common in 2/3 world country, and when we first went to the field, we kind of had a theology of American power and American victory. And then you see people die of things that could easily be prevented here. But it changes your mentality to one of solidarity with people who are suffering. So anyway, if you follow our prayer letters that we've sent the last couple of years, our director's wife was healed from uterine cancer. And then she got a brain tumor and died after a long struggle. That was a big blow for our school. Then on the entry level, one of the two guys, the coordinators for the whole Timothy program, and Paul translates my modules into Surer, he lost his wife in childbirth, but she left behind a baby boy. So Paul is without wife. And it's difficult in that culture. Our mission has put little baby Benjamin in an orphanage till he's weaned. But Paul's having a real hard time now because he has two girls and he takes them to school. He does all the things that his wife would have done. He's very limited in ministry right now, but we would say limited in outside ministry. His main ministry is his two daughters right now. And then Adam Ajouf, who our visionary, who started the pyramid and who was our former director and the chair of the board, he died of a stroke at age 54 on the last day of the year, leaving behind a widow, a sister-in-law, and five children. So his children are giving the eulogy, a eulogy at his funeral service. And his house is way back. You can barely see it between the telephone poles. He constructed his house out of the adobe clay on our grounds and then set it up to be solar powered. So he's a very progressive guy, and everybody always solicited his advice how to do things, because he was a converted Muslim. So he's buried. He wanted to be buried right there on our campus. And that says, to my husband, to Papa, rest in peace. So really, there's like three blows to the solar plexus and then a knockout blow when the Lord let Adama go home. And you just scratch your head. You're like, Lord, is there sin in the camp? Are you disciplining us? I thought you were on our side. You know, we're struggling enough, and now, boom. But, there's really no answer. Life is brutally short there. And every one of us have had somebody that the Lord took or something that happened, and we're going, this doesn't make any sense. In our home church in Colorado Springs, there was a 80-year-old couple taking a walk, getting from their car to the mall entrance where they walked every day, and a parked driverless four-wheel drive vehicle suddenly broke loose from the parking lot, went like that and crushed the wife and killed her instantly. And that happened like 7 years ago. So there's these things that happen to us. We have to trust God's heart. When we can't understand what he's doing, we still choose to trust him. And that's what West African churches do. They have an intense time of mourning where they surround the bereaved, and just every night they come for the first week with their presence, and then usually there's a lady that comes for a month to stay with the widow, and they're supported that way. So for us, we just went back to the scriptures, to the promise of the resurrection, that the godly seed of Eve would crush the head of the ungodly seed of the serpent. And our hope is in the resurrection. That's everything for us, the hope of the resurrection, that we'll see our loved ones again. But it's hard. It's hard for those of us who are left behind. So this has been a great source of comfort for us. Our Lord Jesus himself promises that he will build his church in Senegal, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So God is slowly building his church. We have setbacks. We have advances. We are not, of course, favored being Christians. And so we go on by faith, and we thank you so much for your praying for us and your financial support. Now we're going to go to a different video. Can you go to the one, a trip to a village? Now I want you to see what my students look like, what their home life looks like. So I have these students in these intense modules on a fairly high intellectual level, and then they go back to their church. So there's my problem child is giving his expose or talk on the Bible passage he studied, and the next guy up is named Ngoy. And he's a teacher and also a farmer. So he gave his expose, And we're going to go to his, we're going to make believe that we're going to his village. Now, in this next footage, I want you to tell me if this is in the rainy season or the dry season, and tell me if Senegalese still live in small huts, or do they live in little concrete houses, or this is in the country. So let's take a trip. Okay, wet or dry season? Wet season. And do Senegalese still live in huts? If you're in the bush, yes. This is Ngoy. That is his compound back in the back of him. What kind of soil do you think that is there? What does it look like? If you said sand, you're 100% right. How do you grow millet and peanuts in sand? I don't know. So this is another view from the front of the church. That's all sand. This is from the side of the church, another compound. Think of what life force and endurance a tree has to have to get to be that big. I mean, I don't see how they make a living. But right as I took this picture out the window of the church, mass transportation went by. So I took another photo. Now, can you imagine sitting on that? And then in about an hour and a half, you get to the paved road, and then you get to wait another hour or two for the next bus or van that comes by. And if it's full, you just charge head on and force your way in with your baggage, and that's life. So while we were there, we were surveying students, killing two birds with one stone. At the same time, we wanted to encourage them. They, in the part of Senegal, the Serer farmland, when we serve, it's very, very common to have famine. So they've started to do a Joseph in Egypt type plan where in the good years they save bags of millet and they store it in the church storage area, which is in the back. So this is a composite of another grain thing. This is a first fruit service, like in the Old Testament. You give the first fruit of your crops back to the Lord. Well, this is kind of symbolic of what we did. There are like three or four pastors from the district, and we all came to this church, and the women sit on one side generally, and the men on the other, and they dedicated their first fruits of grain to the Lord. Now, being a missionary, missionaries don't grow millet, so we gave a check to the church association, and then the pastors come up, and we pray together, and then somebody preaches. Whoever's the oldest pastor preaches, and whether you're prepared or not, you preach. So you learn to be prepared with something. And then afterwards, we have a feast day, and we have to wait for the food to be prepared. That was chicken today, so that's kind of a luxury. So you just kind of hang out while you're waiting for the food to come. The little girls tress each other's hair, and we have a missionary gal who was an elementary school teacher, so she took the older kids and got them in a circle, and they played games while we're waiting for the food. Then the food comes, and we share it like that. And then afterwards, you have three rounds of tea that you drink before you can honorably go home. So you make more small talk. Now, Sherry and I teach in French, but we have not learned Wolof, which is the national language, and we have not learned Serer, which is the heart language of the Serer people we work with. So we mainly do charades and nodding and pointing. And so everything's pretty informal. There comes the first round of tea to Steve. Steve speaks perfect Wolof because he's a church planner. And if you're tired, you just sit on a mat on the sand, and the elders take naps till the food comes. So I considered myself an elder. Now you can really see the sand there. It really is like a beach. If there's not a building on it, it's sand, shifting sand. So afterwards, you take a group photo with all the pastors that represent the different churches in the district, and then you take them, you honor the pastors by giving them a ride with you back to the nearest paved road, and that's how you spend a Sunday in rural Senegal. So there's one more here. Sherry's going to tell you what she does. This Sherry's ministry. I'll advance it up to... Sherry, you're going to have to speak really loud because I have the... You want to... Oh. Oh.
Yeah, there's a microphone.
Hello.
It's on. Okay, the other pictures that you just saw were ones from the other presentation, but as this one is a recent picture of our son Brian, who just got engaged and is getting married in June. Keep going. One of the things I do to help out at the Bible school is to work in the library to classify books and organize them. And also when I'm out at the Bible school anyway, I sit in on classes, attend chapel, eat lunch with the students, and it gives me an opportunity to get to know the students and see what the cooks are cooking that day. And just a good opportunity to get out.
There's a screen back there.
Okay. Oh. I already mentioned that we teach English. These two ladies are Jeanette. They're both named Jeanette. The Jeanette in the red is a brand new believer who came to the entry-level Timothy training and was just learning the books of the Bible. And the other Jeanette is from the south, and has four sons and is a very busy lady because she does a lot of evangelism work in villages down there.
She's our best student, our most assiduous student.
A lot of what I do over there is just keeping track of what goes on in this side of the ocean, support levels and health insurance and details of what goes on at our headquarters and that kind of thing. So a lot of it is at computer. And he already talked about village life. These are just some other pictures of when I have been out with another missionary lady who goes out to teach Christian women in villages that can't read or write, but he's teaching them basic Christian doctrine. The lady in the middle is Esther, a Serer lady who has a gift of teaching, and she teaches in Serer, and she's the most gifted teacher they have, so she is called on very often to go out and teach village women basic Bible doctrine. And Laura is the other missionary lady that does the driving. You need a four-wheel drive to get to the villages and all that sand. I go along mainly as an encouragement and just help where I can because I do not speak Serer. And here are just pictures of teaching the ladies, some of these ladies in a village church. The life for a woman in a village is very different than the one in the city. And Esther is teaching there. This particular lesson, yes?
They wear the long dresses. Is that what they wear when they're out working, or is
Oh, the ladies dress up quite a bit when they come to this because it's the get out of the house and not their work clothes at home. No. Yeah, you'll see they dress up very beautifully when they get out of the house and have a special place to wear their clothes. And they listen very intently for 2 hours at a time, as Esther teaches and sometimes Laura teaches this particular lesson. Okay, if you have a group of ladies that can't read or write, you do a lot of teaching with, Esther does a lot of teaching with gestures, with skits, with object lessons. She also sends memory verses home with them, knowing that husbands or children can read them and help them to learn those memory verses, and they do learn them. This lesson is on spiritual warfare, and, you know, someone's afraid and how to handle that. And again, preparing a meal, which you saw this picture already, but to prepare that meal takes about 2 hours. This is back at the Bible school with two ladies that prepare the meals there for entry level. And these two ladies are hired to do that because they need it. They need the meals done on time when he is teaching or someone's teaching for 8 hours. You can't just have the meals anytime they're ready. They have to be ready on time. So these two ladies, one of those plates would feed probably 5 people, but if someone else shows up, it can feed 6 or 7 or however many people show up at mealtime. Back in the village, I was asked to just see if I could do some of this. I didn't last very long. You find out how strong these women are. They would be pounding, using a mortar and pestle to make, for the millet to make a sauce to go over their rice, probably for supper. And the baby naming ceremony, that happens in both, in the Muslim culture, and this is a Christian version of it, but in the Muslim culture, after they name the baby, or nobody knows the name of the baby till after 8 days. They have a special ceremony, and in the Muslim tradition, the religious leader called the imam will come and have a special ceremony for a baby and all these different things. That actually, Charlie has attended the Muslim version, and I was invited that day, but then I found out later it was probably just as well I didn't go, because for the main ceremony, it's only for the men. Now the mother and the grandmother might bring, they would bring the baby in, but the women are back in the kitchen. This is the Christian version of it. You can go back. Instead of doing all that, the pastor, I would say this is more like our baby dedications here. Where the pastor would pray, hold the baby and pray over it. So this was a little different.
Yeah, you've got, you want to keep what's good and respectful in the culture and not trash it and unnecessarily offend people. But part of what goes on, the Sarer animus and Islam came late, even though it's been there for a long time now. So you basically still have an animistic worldview with Muslim trappings on top of it. So when a baby is born, you know, mothers always carry the babies on their backs around. The mother cannot carry the baby. This is the first time the baby is put on the back. So it's a big deal. And the baby gets his or her name. Now, in past society, you would take food cakes and you would offer them to the ancestral spirits, because the ancestors are dead, but they're still alive as intermediary spirits. They have departed this earth, but they're still active. So, you know, if something goes wrong in your life, you seek counsel from a magic man, a holy man, an imam, whatever you want to call it, and they seek guidance and say you need to sacrifice a chicken, because Aunt Harriet is not, well, that's not an African name, but Aunt Harriet is upset, you know. So you would, during the ceremony, you would give cakes to the ancestors and you'd pour out drinks for them. Well, once you become a Christian, you know that the only good spirits are the Holy Spirit of God himself and the ministering holy angels of God. But in Senegal, each village has a pact with a protector spirit. And so they have an alliance, a covenant with a protector spirit, but they don't know that that's an evil spirit because they're in darkness. But once they become Christians, if you don't break that hold on your family and your household, then you're never free until you burn all your fetishes, until you give everything you have 100% to Jesus. You can still be bothered by that kind of stuff, you know. So it's a big deal. But so Christians imitate the culture as much as they can by having reverence for cultural things, but there are certain things that they cannot do. So Sherry's right, the pastor takes the place of the Muslim imam. Yeah.
Okay.
How are we doing?
Did they treat the boy babies and the girls babies the same as a male child?
Male child is more coveted. Yeah, females are definitely second-class citizens. And the only way babies are naked with their heads shaved, naked except for maybe underwear, and the only way you can tell whether it's a boy or a girl is...
they have pierced ears. They pierce the baby's ears right away. So pink and blue mean nothing there. If little girl's ears. These are just children while the ladies are in class learning. I like to take pictures of the children. And I also twice had a women's Bible study. These are English-speaking women. Three of us are missionaries from the United States, and the other three are from different countries in Africa. Well, two of them are from countries in Africa that are English-speaking, Zambia, and then the other lady in the shawl. She's from Guinea, which is French-speaking, but her husband's from Ghana, which is English-speaking, so she's learned English. The other lady next to me is from French-speaking part of Canada, so she knows English as well. And two of those ladies teach at the Christian school in town. One teaches Bible and one teaches English. So they met at our home to have Bible study in English for a few weeks.
So there's a way that you can support us through if you use King Supers or City Market. And when we get the PowerPoint up. But I want to say one last thing. I'm going to speak in the service. No, I'll wait for the sermon to do this because we want to honor the time. So it's up. Okay. So Sherry's, if you do shop at King Supers or City Market, and this program used to be a gift card. Now it's just your loyalty card. If you do shop there, if you sign up, you can 5% of what you purchase will go to us. And Sherry is going to show how you can do that.
Yes, this is, if you do not shop at King Supers, you don't have to listen to this. But if you do, there's a way you can help us by donating 5% of what you spend goes to us, can go to us. The way you do that, you use just the regular loyalty card that you always give when you shop there. But you need, before you do that, you need to sign up on kingsupers.com, create a password and all that. Then you will come to this, the side where it says My Account. If you look on that screen, way on the left, on the right side, left side, whatever. Oh, go back to where we were.
Oh, I messed up.
Go back to where we were.
That goes before community wards.
Okay.
And that's what I showed the first slide.
On the other side, it'll say community rewards on the bottom. You go into that, and it will give you all kinds of, I think it will give you all kinds of organizations that you can contribute to. Now, many of them may say World Venture, which are different people, different missionaries within that. I have a paper here, which I will put in the back with our account number, because it will not say our name. It'll say World Venture, and then I'll put this number in the back, 6160-095. That is our account number, and that is what you need to sign up to donate 5% of your grocery money to us. Now, the way that you know that you have done it correctly, and actually I just figured this out myself, not living here and knowing all these details, is when you have your King Soopers receipts, you go home and you look at the very, very bottom, and it'll say, at your request, we are donating to World Venture 6160-095. That's how you know you did it right. But you have to sign up beforehand or else it doesn't work.
So
if
you
try and you don't get it, just let us know.
Yeah, you can talk to Sherry during the break, because it's kind of hard to see all that stuff up there. And thank you. Have a good break. We'll be in the break with you, and then we'll have church.
Okay, thank you.